of July 2021. And no, the gang's not all here. JR and Hammer with you. Sean Simpson is off for the next couple of weeks, enjoying some holidays. And so next hour, starting at 7 o'clock, Dean Brown, the voice of the Senators, will join us here to co-host the shows. We'll have a rotating cast of characters throughout the next couple of weeks while Simmer is off. All right, checking out the weather. We've got an air quality advisory in effect for Ottawa. We're expecting some smoke and haze from the northwestern Ontario wildfires to hit Ottawa probably later on this morning into this afternoon. You will notice that may last into tomorrow as well. So if you have breathing difficulties, bear that in mind. As far as the forecast goes, mix of sun and clouds for today. 27 will be the high, 32 with humidity. This will be the last of the sticky days. Should cool off starting tomorrow with showers around, and 22. That'll be the high tomorrow. The forecast for Wednesday, sunny. Thursday, rain. So it seems like every other day this week, at least through the middle of the week, should be decent. So today and Wednesday, good. Tomorrow and Thursday, not so good. And right now in Ottawa, it is 15 degrees. How you doing, Hammer?
I'm fantastic. How you doing,
well,
sir?
Well, you know what? It's good. We're working out of a new, an old studio, but it's they did some construction.
Some renos
on the weekend. So everything is kind of new, and everything's a little bit different. And so I'm not good with change.
You hate change.
Well, none of us are good with change.
Especially, I hate change, too.
Especially when we've been doing the same thing for a long time.
Like, I'm not going to make fun of you. I don't like change either.
Same things in the same, like. You would think that having a wireless keyboard and a wireless mouse would be good, but it's in a different place now.
But now you can move that keyboard and mouse wherever you want
it to
go. I know,
but now it's in a place where normally I have a couple of where I have my notes. So because now I got to lay the notes over the key. Like everything is just, I'll get used to it. I'm not here. I'm not complaining. It is for the better. It's good. But everything is just a little bit different. So if I'm a little bit off today for the first hour, okay. A little bit of forgiveness will be in place.
Well, we knew that this was coming, and you had just a ton of questions for the engineers that were putting this together. Can I stand up? Can I do this? Can I tilt my monitor? Can I have a second monitor? Is there any way that I can have my notes on one side and the keyboard on the other? Can I move around? Am I free? There was a lot of information that you piled on. Great engineer, Sean Kelly. Fantastic.
They did a great job.
Rick Furness as well. Fantastic people. And they just said, make a list.
Okay.
Come in on Monday and make a list.
Make a list, okay.
So how long are we seeing this list right now?
You know what? The big thing right now
is that... You got an issue with the clock. You can't see your clock.
Can't see the clock that I have. Yeah, we have a digital clock that keeps us, I would say, on time, but the show is never on time. Regular listeners of the show know the show is never on time. It's sort of close to time. So maybe this is better. The fact that I can't see the clock may be a better thing now. Now, if I crane my head around, I can sort of see it. I can see now that I look at 6:11. So it's all good there. No, it's just a couple of little things. I'll be just fine.
Yeah, you don't look any different to me. You look fine. You look like you're gonna get through this okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say the one thing is I have trouble reaching the mic now. It doesn't seem to come out as far as it did. So having to lean in a little bit extra,
so
but it's good.
Two things.
We
keep adding on to the list. I have a feeling over or under here, I'm going to go with 10 by the end of the show, that you'll have just some little tweaks that you're going to want to make.
The fact that the computers worked, okay? The fact that I could print off a couple sheets, that worked. The fact that the mics worked. You know, usually when things get changed and you come in on a Monday and it's kind of like, whoa, this isn't working. It was all tested, so it's all good. Anyway,
that was
I'm not
your biggest concern. You're
exactly.
On the air and we're ready to go for a Monday.
Exactly.
A fresh week.
It's all good. All right, we're watching the final seconds, by the way, of the Olympics and the Canadian women's basketball team in their opening match. Game taking on Serbia, and there are 10 seconds left, and Canada is down by 3, 70-67. But they are, looks like they're going to the line, all right, to shoot, is it two?
I think it's just two.
Shoot two? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Hey, so, I've watched a lot of this fourth quarter, and if Canada ends up losing to Serbia, it's going to be a lot of bad turnovers late in the final couple of minutes here, and some really bad fouls that led to turnovers and led to foul shots for Serbia as well. And Serbia's just shot the ball really well. There was one play where a player drove into the key and then threw the ball behind her, like a grandma style, but over her head, no look pass behind her,
mm-hmm.
where she had an open teammate on the wing.
It was all planned.
Oh, it looked planned. open three, sunk it, and it's just looking like. And then here's our third review that they. I'm not a big fan of reviews here. The basketball games, at the end of basketball games, they take long enough. We do not need to continuously review everything as well.
And it would appear that when the officials go to review, it's not just a matter like we saw in the NBA playoffs where they walked over the table right beside the court. They actually walk around the end and then around the back to take a look at where the review takes place.
Could we not get a little opening a little bit closer to the official review monitor?
Anyway, 10 seconds left. Canada's down by three. Looks like they're going to be going to the line to shoot two. So this will be tough. And for those one, well, I mean, we care about all Canadian, teams and individuals as far as the Olympics go. But this Canadian women's basketball team is seen as a very much a contender for a medal. So this would be not a great start. Doesn't mean that they're done. It wouldn't be a great start, though, to lose your opening game.
Could you see hit one, miss one, and then try to tie it with two with 10 seconds to go?
I think you're trying to make two. I think you're doing the immediate foul.
Immediate foul.
Yeah, make them make their free throws and take your chances at the offensive
end. First one. Yep. Oh, is that play by? Can we not do that?
We have rights issues, so we're not allowed to do play by play.
I didn't. I just said wow. It went through the bucket.
Yeah. Although she did miss the second one, and now the Serbians have broken free, and they're going to win the game. It looks like they're up by four with 3 seconds to go.
Spoiler alert! So. Your TV is obviously way ahead of mine because that just happened for me.
Yeah, the game has just ended. Game has just ended. Canadian women's basketball team has lost its opening game at the Olympics, 72-68 to Serbia. All right, so that's not good. However, if you're just waking up this morning and you weren't watching the Olympics late last night, you missed Canada's first gold medal. Swimmer Maggie McNeil in the 100-meter butterfly won by 5/100ths of a second. Outtouched her next fastest competitor by what would that be? Maybe a fingernail.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe she had fingernail extensions. I didn't really get a look at her hands when she did the post-race interview. But you know the extensions that some women,
heck
right?
Yeah.
The long extensions?
Who was the American track star that had those long...
Like Jackie Joyner or
something
somebody
like that. That had those long, fake fingernails.
Exactly.
At least I hope they were
fake. I wonder if you would do that at the Olympics. When we're talking about split seconds, could be the difference between gold and silver.
Could be a lot of drag, though, in the water, though. I'm not too sure if that will help
Probably not. Yeah, I'd have to think that one.
You're gonna have to make that up elsewhere to have that advantage at the end.
Anyway,
but it looked like she had had a great final length too because she
was seventh.
Up.
It was 100 meters. She was seventh at the turn, at the 50 meter turn. So she came all the way back. Now they had said going in that her finishing kick was her best, that she would she had the ability to do that. But she was in lane seven, so she wasn't necessarily usually the favorites. The way it goes is it's by your time, right? You're usually four or five in the swimming. Those are your favorites, and then it works its way out. So she was in lane seven.
You want some of that drag.
So not necessarily seen as a favorite in this race. So that was great. So that's our first gold medal for Canada at the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. She already had won a silver medal in the freestyle relay with Penny Oleksiak on Saturday. So she's got two medals already. I'm going to tap Maggie McNeil as the early leader to carry the flag at the closing ceremonies of the Tokyo Olympics.
Lots of Olympics to go here.
Yes.
I hope two medals for one person. I hope there's maybe some bigger highlights and bigger highlights for her as well.
The moment, though, if you haven't seen it, and again, we normally would say, hey, we'll tweet it out for you so you can watch it if you haven't seen it already.
Nope.
We're not allowed to do any video for 24 hours, so... That's why if you're ever watching like anything other than CBC and you're wondering, well, why don't they just show me the race? Or why do I see still pictures? It's always just still pictures. Well, that's all. If you're a non-rights holder, that's all you're allowed to broadcast. So, and you can't, we can't do any audio. Television can't do any video if you're not a rights holder, unless CBC pays lots of money for the rights to do that. So I understand completely why they do that, but... Sometimes we get questions from listeners going or viewers on the CTV side saying, well, why don't you just show the replay? The race is over. It's actually a 24-hour period in which you're not allowed to replay that. There's a moment when she touches the wall, and she knows it's close. And usually I think what happens is the scoreboard, first of all, is at the other end of the pool. So she touches. And the scoreboard, I don't think, like we see immediately on our television screen who won, but I think actually in this case, the pool, it takes us maybe a couple of seconds for the computer to go right there and the standings to come. So she flips around And she and if you've seen her post race interview, she wears glasses, so she doesn't see very well. So she's sort of squinting at the other end,
trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and then she can see her name at the top, and you can see her. Oh my God! I just won a gold medal.
You can audibly hear her say, yeah. "Oh my God!" Yeah. during the final race call.
Yeah, so that was an awesome moment for Canada, and again, as we said, our first gold medal. And good to see that, because there have been times at the Olympics before, not so much, I think, at the summer. It's more at the Winter Olympics where there's less events. But sometimes just the way the events lay themselves out, sometimes we've had Canada go like 3 or 4 days before we win our first medal. So the fact we got 2 on the first day on Saturday and then a gold. Last night, our time, we're actually in the evening of day 3 of competition over in Tokyo. They're 13 hours ahead of us. So it's 7:19 in the evening over in Tokyo. So they're wrapping up day 3. So we got 3 medals so far in 3 days of competition.
Did you watch a lot over the weekend?
I just watched last night. You know what? I think I'm like a lot of people.
It was a nice weekend, though.
It was a nice weekend. For the most part. And again, you know, it's a chance for everybody to get out. We've been in lockdown. Like, lots of people just wanting to do stuff and just be out. And I get all that. So last night, it was kind of like I was working on some notes for the show, going to watch the Olympics. You know, and listen, I have a vested interest in trying to be up to date on all this stuff. I just find it very difficult to find out when things are on, right? And so I was searching around last night for a definitive website that says, okay, this event is at this specific time, boom, 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 boom. I finally found one where it kind of lays itself out. So that's because I want to know, okay, like swimming is, and what's great about the way they've done the swimming is the finals are all in the morning over in Tokyo, but in prime time where we are. So there was, you know, her race last night was at 9:30. There was another gold medal at like 10 in like something in the men's side or whatever, right? So there was like five big swims last night, and they were all laid out like half an hour apart. So once you find this, get the rhythm of the schedule, then it becomes a little bit easier.
That's good. I'm going to need that schedule because my daughter's asking me when the equestrian is on. She just wants to see the equestrian being... Yeah. Riding horses, what she does, she loves the equestrian, the dressage, the horse jumping, everything. So, and I tried looking too. It's very hard to decipher. It's a Da Vinci Code. I'm not too sure. So I'm going to need your schedule a little bit to help me out.
And just make sure that if you're searching for a schedule, just make sure you find it in Eastern time. If you're listening to us, that is in Eastern time, but you could be listening well anywhere around the world right now, which is, we always appreciate that. All right, it is, let me look at my, oh, there's my clock, 6:21. All right, we'll take a break. We got lots to get into in the weekend. I'm sure most people most interested in the results of the weekend as far as the draft goes, especially for the Sens. Generally speaking, if you're a so-called draft expert, the Ottawa Senators did not do very well. The Ottawa Senators will tell you, and Trent Mann specifically, we did just fine. Thank you very much. The proof will be in the pudding. 2, 3, 4, 5 years or beyond from now. But that certainly was a topic of conversation throughout the weekend, was the Sens drafts. So we'll tell you who they picked, and we'll hear from the likes of Trent Mann and Pierre Dorion as well as they wrapped up the draft, which seemed to go on forever on day 2. By the way, and speaking of Trent Mann, the Sens chief scout, he will join us here on the show. Had kind of 24 hours to decompress after what I'm sure was an incredibly exhausting yet exhilarating 36 hours. Trent Mann will join us on the show after 9 o'clock this morning. Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider, will be by after 8. Of course, this being a Monday, it's our TSN 1200 Jersey Monday contest. So sometime between now and 8 o'clock, you will get code word number 1 of 6 that you will get today to get yourself into the grand prize draw for your very own, maybe be the first on your block to have a Tyler Boucher Ottawa Senators Black Sens Adidas home jersey, customized however you want. Maybe one of the new draft picks, maybe one of the fan favorites. All right, so code word number 1 coming up before 8. And, of course, a chance for you to win $1,000 in our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. That comes up just before 8. So we've got a busy show ahead. We're glad you're with us to kick off the week. Hope you had a good weekend. You're listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. All right, welcome back, everybody. 6:28 on this Monday morning. JR and Hammer with you. Simmer's off for the next couple of weeks, and we'll have a rotating cast of characters to co-host the show throughout that, starting with the voice of the Sens, Dean Brown, will join us after 7 o'clock this morning via the Zoom machine. Michaela Schreider, Gord Wilson, Eric Macromella, They'll all be guest hosting throughout the next couple of weeks as we take you through this holiday season. But certainly lots to talk about today after the NHL weekend that was. Of course, all kicked off last Wednesday with Seattle's expansion draft. Then we had round one of the draft on Friday, and then rounds two through seven on Saturday, which seemed like an excruciatingly long, unnecessarily long process to get through the second to seventh rounds. Went on for, I believe, in the area of around 6 or 7 hours, something like that. Typically takes 3 to 4. For some reason, it went forever. Regardless, the Ottawa Senators walked away with six players when it was all said and done. A draft class that was generally panned by the so-called draft experts, who thought that Ottawa reached, as they say in the draft business, for several of their picks. Trent Mann would beg to differ. We'll hear from him in just a second, but let's start with Ottawa's first pick from Friday night.
The Ottawa Senators are proud to select from the USA National Team Development Program, Tyler Boucher.
There you go. And yeah, that is someone, and we're not quite sure who at the end of that. We don't think it's from the Sens, because again, this was a virtual draft from this from the Sens draft room. I would hope that no one in the Sens draft room would be going, who? But someone did whose mic was live. Regardless, it was a surprising pick, I think, based on where he was ranked. Bob McKenzie's list had Tyler ranked as 29th. And again, Bob's list is sort of a consensus of 10 chief scouts that he talks to that's usually has a pretty good handle on where guys are going to get picked. And kind of within 4 or 5 is generally pretty close. So the fact that he was 29th on Bob's list and went 10th, I think, was a surprise. And several other people who are so-called experts in this sort of thing had him into the second round. Regardless, the Sens list is the Sens list. That's the most important thing to them. Here is Chief Scout Trent Mann on why they chose Tyler Boucher.
We feel that Tyler Boucher fits what we're trying to build here. It's another piece that fits in to the structure we're trying to put in place here. And at this point in time, the upside, he's a strong power forward who can score, and those types of players aren't plentiful, and so we just like what that's going to do for the right side in the future. So for us, we're really, really happy that he was available and that we were able to pick him.
There you go. Tyler Boucher, 6'1", 205, right winger. Models himself, he says, a little bit after Tom Wilson, which if it's the Tom Wilson that toes the line and sometimes maybe goes slightly over it, that's probably a good thing because Tom Wilson is a bit of a unicorn around the National Hockey League. If it's the Tom Wilson that goes out and runs guys over and gets suspended a bunch of times, that's not a good thing, but we're a long way from that. But that's the style of player that the Ottawa Senators have in Tyler Boucher. He is a very physical forward, but Pierre Dorion said when he joined us on our draft show on Friday night, besides the physical attributes, what he likes best about Tyler Boucher is his ability to score goals. So it's interesting that the Sens GM says that because many of the reviews I saw on Tyler Boucher talk about, his best attributes are the physicality, his ability to, turn pucks over, heavy on the forecheck, good skater, all that other stuff, but not necessarily a great point producer or goal scorer, but the Sens GM likes him for his goal scoring ability. So again, that will play itself out. This is an 18-year-old draft. You never know until they actually start playing the games. If and when he gets the National Hockey League, we'll see who ends up being right. Because as we said, generally speaking, a lot of the so-called experts thought the Sens reached for Tyler Boucher at number 10.
Is anybody really going to, you can write up whatever you want on players. Is anybody really going to go back and fact check 3-4 years from now? We're going to remember that the experts didn't like the pick of Tyler Boucher, but we're not going to remember who wrote it. You can go and search. I mean,
it'll be under freezing cold takes.
So exactly. It'll be arbitrary. And I know everybody, you're trying to make a living. This is your job. This is what you do. And I respect the time that you put forth in it, but no way am I going to take your word for over Trent Mann's and a National Hockey League's organization. There's hit and misses all the time. You're going to be 50-50 right or wrong. And you're just going to have to wait and find out how Tyler Boucher pans out. But I like it because the Sens continue to be what they never have been, which is big, tough, strong, and skilled. And it's fun to watch. It was fun to watch this past season, that type of hockey.
It was interesting, and it wasn't in that answer, but one of his other answers, they spoke specifically about right wing being the specific spot on the team that they felt they had the least amount of depth on, that they needed reinforcements. And that, in part, is what attracted them to Tyler Boucher, is that he's a right winger, plus all the other attributes that he brings. So that being said, if you are now at a position where they feel that they can target certain positions as opposed to necessarily certain players, that kind of goes against the tried and true of how you draft, which is BPA, best player available, regardless of position. You know, just have your list. Trent Mann told us last week when we had him on the show before the draft, I got 282 names. They're listed. They're ranked 1 through 282. And it was interesting that he went 282 because I think there were only 224 players drafted, so they had an extra 60. But anyway, that being said, so Tyler Boucher was somewhere on his list. Was he in fact 10th? Was he 5th? They'll never divulge that. But to me, it was interesting that and again, Trent's going to join us on the show, so I want to kind of put that question to him again. Did you go against necessarily best? Did you have someone else, you know, ranked ahead of him in terms of best player available, or he was close enough and he played a position that you wanted reinforcements in that you decided to go that route?
Well, it was interesting because you guys asked the question, and I think Pierre Dorion was asked the question too, was the thought ever to trade down and try to select Tyler Boucher and get another pick in the process? And the thought on both was, no, there's other teams that are sniffing around Tyler Boucher right now where we can't take the chance to drop back into the high teens or into the 20s and think that he's still going to be there.
Yeah.
So we need to take him here and now. And I think taking him and not the best player available, I guess, shows their confidence. Well,
we don't know
level.
That. I'm just saying that, well, yeah. That's what he specifically said.
I guess what the experts feel were a lot of other players that they should have chosen ahead of Tyler Boucher. But I guess it shows the confidence as well in prior drafting, in what they have in the cupboard right now, what they have in Belleville, and what they have with the Senators right now, that they can make this move. And as a Sens fan, you got to be really hopeful of that, and you got to be confident moving forward that, hey, this team is really coming together, and it's going to be a really exciting time here in the near future.
Yeah, Pierre Dorion said, and I'd be paraphrasing his words, but words to the effect of, and Ottawa picked at number 10, he said, we think we have pretty good intel that he would have gone, and I don't know if he mentioned specific spots, but kind of in that 12 to 14 pick window, so 2 to 3 to 4 picks behind where Ottawa chose. There was, and I don't remember who it was, somebody that covers the New York Rangers, and this is, again, before the draft. This is not, hey, after this all happened, you know, I'm going to put this out there. He said, watch for the Rangers and Tyler Boucher. And he put that out sort of midday on Friday, right? So the Rangers picked 16th. So the Sens were at 10. So in other words, if, you know, Pierre Dorion's intel said that teams right in behind them potentially could have picked him. The New York Rangers, again, according to somebody who covers the team, were hot on Boucher. And the issue is if you drop back even one or two spots, or you drop back four spots, let's say even it's just the Rangers, you drop back four spots and the Rangers really want this guy, well, then they only have to jump up three spots to be ahead of you. And their cost of moving up three spots may only end up being a third round draft pick or whatever, and they're willing to pay that. So I guess my point in all this is, and again, I don't know anything about the player. I've never seen him play. I don't pretend for a second to be a draft expert, okay? I haven't seen any of these guys play, so I don't know. But if you, I do think that the Ottawa Senators now have a lot of depth in their organization as far as prospects go, and I think they've reached a point, and I tend to agree with them on this. If you like a player, choose that player now. They don't need to keep accumulating another third-round pick to trade back three or four spots and take the chance of losing a guy they really want. And I'm thinking if they're picking a guy at 10th, that the consensus seems to be that this guy is at best a late first rounder or a second round pick, if they believe in him enough to pick him 10th, then they really must believe in him. Like, they must really, really like this player. So it would make, to me, zero sense for you, if you like this player, to go so much against the grain, it would make no sense to me to trade back a few spots just to get another pick. They've got 11 picks in the draft next year. Like, you can only, and I understand, you know, the more picks you have, the more swings. I get that whole part of it. I understand that. But again, they have reached a stage where, you know what, picking a player they truly believe in, I think, is the right way to go. So from that perspective, and again, I don't know anything about the player, but if they believe that player is worthy of the number 10 pick, then I think that's a good choice. And I'll say the other thing is, this is now five drafts for Trent Mann. You know, and last year's draft is looking like it's going to be a real good draft. We've seen Timmy Stützle play in the NHL. He is an NHL player. There's no doubt about that. Is he going to become a superstar? Hard to say. Looks like he's going to be at, you know, anywhere from a good to very good to star to potentially superstar player. We'll see. Right? And Jake Sanderson and Ridley Gregg and many of the other players they chose. Okay? But I don't think, you know what, for those that would say, yeah, but, you know, you can say they've drafted well, but, you know, do you really know? I mean, only one of those guys played in the NHL. Okay, fair enough. You know, if we say that 3 to 5 years is a good amount of time to see whether you've actually got a guy who's a player or not. So let's go back to, you know, Trent Mann's first draft in 2017. They only had 4 picks. Shane Bowers was their first rounder. He ended up getting traded. Two of their other 3 picks were Alex Formanton in the second round and Drake Batherson in the 4th round. Drake Batherson was a 4th round pick who's a 1st round talent.
Not too bad.
Right? For your first draft, that's pretty darn good. You know what? Draft number 2, okay, we're now 3 years down the road from draft number 2. Brady Tkachuk was considered by some to maybe have been picked a little bit too high, right? And all the controversy here in Ottawa was, should have picked Philip Zadina. I don't know that you can find many, if any, Ottawa Senator fans that now would want Zadina over Tkachuk. So that would appear to be a real good pick by Trent Mann. So even in the measurables, even if we go back to his first and second drafts, those drafts have been good. So that's why I think if you look at it and you go, if we're going to give the benefit of the doubt here about Trent Mann and the choice of Tyler Boucher and some of these other guys that they kind of went against the grain on, I think based on his history, even if we have to go back to his first drafts, I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt.
And I think Tyler Boucher was the guy that they wanted, because why go through? It's the hinties of you're reading the tea leaves, you're looking down, you're trying to figure out where he's going to go. You're going to put forth that much effort. You can't do that after maybe the guy that you had pegged to go 10 went 8th or went 9th or went 7th. You can't then all of a sudden start looking to find out where the next guy in your order is going to be selected. And if at 10th, that's where you have to get him. If you already have the hinty that the Rangers are looking at him and looking at him at 16th, well, then you're already putting in the legwork that you know this is the guy you want, because there's no way that you're going to use the 2 draft picks, the 2 high ones that you had in the second round, to draft up that high to get into the mid-teens to take Tyler Boucher when you've selected somebody else at 10 already. So I think the Sens got the guy that they wanted and that they were looking at number 10 the entire time.
And I think we'll see. We'll see, and it probably will take a period of time, be it he's going to go to BU next year, Boston University. And then beyond that, I asked when Pierre Dorion was on with us on Friday night after the draft, I kind of said, you know, do you have any plans for him? You know, is it going to be one and done? Is it going to be? And his words essentially were, we're going to play it year by year here. So we'll see. He seems like he's pretty physically developed.
I was going to say he looks like he's physically he's NHL ready.
Right.
If not a year from now, right now.
Right. Of course, the other interesting part about Tyler Boucher is the fact that he has NHL lineage, and that his dad, Brian Boucher, of course, was a longtime NHL goaltender, now involved in play-by-play. He's moved from NBC Between the Benches to ESPN. So it's a hockey family that he comes from. Of course, Brian Boucher was a goalie and, you know, very good goalie in the National Hockey League. So we put the question to Tyler Boucher when he joined us on our draft show. So why aren't you a goalie?
I think my mom had enough with my dad's career. I think that was a little stressful for her. I think she wanted to, take a new route. So I think she was more than happy with my decision, you know, be a forward. And I think that was kind of the biggest reason.
I think if you're a hockey mom or a hockey dad for that matter, and let's say your dad wasn't a former NHLer, and you had to choose between my son being a goalie, and anybody who's been a goalie parent knows how, you know, in minor hockey knows how stressful that can be, or your son can skate around and create a lot of physical contact and maybe hurt himself that way. You know, it's not like, I think you'd probably most enjoy if your son was really just super skilled and not that physical, so they couldn't get, because you always worry about them getting hurt, right? They're
of course.
They're your kid. That's the last thing you want to see your kid get hurt. So it's superstar that doesn't take a lot of contact, I think by far is the best option. Then we'll probably go, what, physical player, and then last choice is goalie parent.
Well, you went through enough anxiety and stress with your husband as an NHL goalie. You want to do that one more time for the rest of your life, watching your son be a goaltender and try to make it as a professional in between the net and between the pipes? Yeah, I can completely understand why you might be looking elsewhere positionally.
All right, some texts at 12-1200 on the Boucher pick. I have no problem with them taking or them liking Boucher. He could very well, they could very well have traded down to get him. However, we do know that his name only sounds French, right? That comes from Unsung. Not sure what that all means. Let's not forget, experts hated the Brady pick. That's from Tim in Eganville. If Boucher didn't have an MCL injury last year and pneumonia, he would have been ranked in the top 10. That comes from Unsigned. Let's see here. I fully trust Trent Mann. He's proved himself to us over and over. So many picks that were questioned that they were right on, i.e. Brady. Can't wait to see what Boucher becomes. That's from Postman Yan. So
yeah, I think that's the underlining story here, is just trusting Trent Mann and his team of amateur scouts, because they've given us no reason whatsoever to not trust them to date.
Yeah, and again, we went through it. So Brady Tkachuk, and again, if you get into the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds, and this is where I kind of laugh a little bit. So you know about this guy's no chance of being being an NHL player. Like how many guys do? How many guys come out of the fifth? You know, once in a while you can find somebody, but it's very, very rare. Your NHL players typically come out of the top half of the first round and the first round, and then you'll get some. People might be surprised at how few second-round draft picks actually become regular NHL players. It's not a very long list. You know what? You hope you can find. If you can come out of any draft with a really good player and then another player, just a player, an NHL-caliber player, you've done really well. If you can get two guys out of a draft, and some years it's only going to be one, and that's just fine too. So, you know, there's 10 picks and like only one guy's got a chance. You know what? Only if that one guy is good, that's fine. That's a good draft. It's a really good draft if you can get two. And if you only get one and he's pretty good, that's not bad either. So kind of spare me the whole, but if none of these guys will play in the National Hockey League that they drafted in the fifth, sixth, and seventh, like, honestly, that's kind of stretching things here. But listen, we'll see. The proof will be in the pudding, as they say. All right, continue to share your thoughts. You can text us at 12-1200. Tweet at us at TSN1200. Don't forget Dean Brown, the voice of the Sens, will join us to co-host coming up after 7 o'clock. When we return, we'll talk about the rest of the hockey weekend. Tons of huge trades. 4 first-round draft picks got moved. So lots of familiar faces in new places. As of today, and of course, don't forget, Wednesday, free agency opens at noon. Will the Sens be players in free agency come Wednesday? We'll chat about that as well as we roll on here on a Monday morning. Simmers off this week. J.R. Hammer with you. Dean Brown to join us after 7 right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 6:53 on this Monday morning. Simmers off this week. J.R. and Hammer with you. Dean Brown, voice of the Sens, will join us coming up after 7 o'clock. After 8, Dave Poulin, our TSN Hockey Insider, with his thoughts on a very busy NHL weekend. There was much more than the NHL entry draft. In fact, 4 or 5 huge trades, 4 of them involving first-round draft picks. So we'll go through all of that throughout the morning, get to Dave Poulin's thoughts on it coming up after 8 o'clock. Then after 9, the chief scout of the Ottawa Senators, Trent Mann, will rejoin us. chance to catch his breath yesterday, 36 hours after the draft wrapped up, and we'll get his thoughts on his draft class, on some of the criticism that has come his and the organization's way for the players that they chose. So we'll look forward to talking to Trent Mann when he joins us after 9. As you heard just now, or just mentioned, again, the last piece of a very busy 10 days on the NHL calendar will be the free agency, which starts coming up on Wednesday at noon. I'm kind of glad we're done with the midnight thing. I'm kind of glad, at least for now, we're done with the Canada Day thing. If they decided to move free agency to not being on Canada Day, I'd be more than happy with that.
Please.
Although a lot of people say they enjoy spending their Canada Day in the afternoon, just watching TV and watching the coverage of free agency frenzy on TSN. So I guess to each his own. I prefer to kind of go out on Canada Day. Yeah. Let's just have it on the second.
A nice little family day. Get out to a lake, the cottage, pool, friends, not stuck indoors. Although you can move your TV outside and watch it if you want to gather with friends now in a small group and enjoy. But, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Canada Day having NHL free agency there.
Some massive trades. Most of them date all the way back to Friday, of course, involving first-round draft picks. The biggest one, I think, probably was the Seth Jones trade from Columbus to Chicago. He goes, Seth Jones does, along with what turned out to be a late first, the 32nd overall draft pick in the first round, in exchange for Adam Boqvist, the 12th pick in the draft, a first-rounder again next year from Chicago. Oh, and then the Hawks turn around and give Seth Jones a $9.5 million 8-year extension. One of the biggest contracts we have seen in the last couple of years in the National Hockey League for a guy who a lot of people think had a down year last year in Seth Jones. And some people say that may be, in actual fact, who Seth Jones is. Others would say, hey, it was one bad year. Overall, this is a 26-year-old right-shot defenseman, a number one D that you can, that will be a great player for the next 10 years. So, it is a bit of a roll of the dice for the Hawks. They certainly gave up a lot of the futures. And, of course, Seth Jones had said to Columbus with a year left on his deal, I'm not going to be re-signing here. And so they chose to move him along for the best package they could get. So that was probably the biggest trade, but of the weekend. Although, again, there were several other ones. Rasmus Ristolainen goes from Buffalo to Philly for a first and a second. A lot of people do not like that deal for the Flyers. Think Ristolainen is not a very good player. So that was a big price to pay for him. Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland end up going to Vancouver for a first-round pick and a second-round pick. And a lot of guys who the Canucks were trying to move out because they were bad contracts. The thing is, they were bad contracts only for one more year. Whereas Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who, again, analytics would tell you has been on the decline for 2 or 3 years, has 6 more years left on his contract. The Coyotes picked up a little bit of money, but the Canucks are going to have to pay him $7.25 million for 6 more years for a guy who, again, many people have said hasn't necessarily been very good for 2 or 3 years, maybe more a reputation-based player than an actual good player. And none of us know because none of us pay any attention to the Arizona Coyotes because, for the most part, they've been, at best, a mediocre team the last several years.
Yeah, maybe take him out of Arizona and put him in another franchise. Maybe he's turning things around. But I know Jim Benning was saying that they're going to save some salary cap space and maybe do something with that money. But then everybody's doing the math and showing, no, you're not saving anything at all. You're pretty much
between
where you are.
Between what they have to pay Ekman-Larsson, which is still $7.25 million, where they're going to have to pay Garland because he's a restricted free agent, probably in the area of $4 to $5 million. You're at $12 million.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the cap hit was for Louis Erickson, Jay Beagle, and Antoine Roussel. All three of those guys.
And it was going to be done.
And their actual money in terms of cash was actually closer to $8 million. That they were owed, and they'll be done at the end of this year. So Vancouver would have been out from underneath the obligation to pay those guys after this year. Now they got to pay Ekman-Larsson $42 million over the next 6 years. So
that's a head scratcher.
Well, what that is?
That's just the comments.
That's a GM trying to save his job. That's a GM who knows that if nothing happens with Vancouver this coming year, he's going to get fired. And so by moving some money out short term, he hopes to be able to, get some free agents, make some trades in this coming year. And with Pettersson hopefully coming back and Quinn Hughes within maybe a better year or whatever, and getting those guys signed as well, that maybe the Canucks will be a better team and he can save his job. But that's all that trade is.
And you got to pay Pettersson too, right?
Yeah.
Restricted free agent. You're negotiating with him right now.
Speaking of signings, the Colorado Avalanche signed Cale Makar, their star defenseman, arguably already the best defenseman in the NHL. And if he's not, he looks like he will be in the very near future. 6 years, $54 million. For, I believe Cale Makar is 22 or 23 years old, and he's got $54 million coming his way. But again, he is arguably already, certainly offensively, one of the top two or three defensemen in the National Hockey League. So $9 million a year for Cale Makar. Another trade on Saturday, Jake Voracek goes to the Blue Jackets for Cam Atkinson. And Sam Reinhart goes to the Florida Panthers from Buffalo for Devin Levi. Former Carlton Place goalie, of course, starred for Team Canada at the World Juniors, along with a 2022 first-round draft pick. So the Buffalo Sabres are, I think it's very evident, and we'll see if Jack Eichel ends up getting traded this week, very much into another rebuild are the Buffalo Sabres. So, but they'll have at least, they grabbed an extra first-round pick this past draft, they'll have at least one extra one for next year's draft as well. So that those were the bigger deals that went down over the weekend. How much has it shaped and changed the landscape of the National Hockey League? That will be interesting. Chicago now looking like, in the short term at least, that they are going to try to, I don't think rebuild is the right word, but they're trying to retool and remain in contention while they still have. Patrick Kane is close to the top of his game. Jonathan Toews, we'll see. He missed an entire year. We'll see whatever the effects of what he sat out with, what effects that'll have on him as a player when he comes back next year. Kane is still a great player, but Jonathan Toews, I don't know that he is necessarily at that level any longer. Is the addition of Seth Jones enough to push the Chicago Blackhawks back into Stanley Cup contention? If it's not, that is a huge price to pay, and that is a lot of money to be giving a guy who... You know, when you're not a Stanley Cup contender.
Yeah, and there's still questions about him and what kind of player he's going to be. Giving him $9.5 million, I don't know what they're in a flat cap here. I'm not too sure what they're looking at. They're looking at Kane and Toews being done soon and being out from underneath at least one of those contracts, that being most likely Jonathan Toews. But yeah, they're just trying to stay relevant, I suppose, and good on them. And Blackhawk fan, Noah the bus driver. I don't know how he feels about it, but I guess for him, you're thinking at least you're seeing your team still try to push when you've got some of the talent that you still have on that team.
And last but not least, as far as NHL storylines from the weekend, and we'll get more into it next hour when Dean Brown joins us, but the Montreal Canadiens' decision to draft defenseman Logan Mailloux in the first round, 31st overall on Friday night, was, in all honesty, a jaw-dropping moment. I think most hockey fans, most sports fans are familiar with his story. The fact that mid-last week, as the controversy arose about him and news had come that a lot of teams, or at least some teams, had taken him off their draft list altogether, and then he came out and said, you know what, I don't want to be drafted. He can't pull himself out. You cannot recuse yourself from the draft. You can ask not to be drafted. Some teams had already made that decision. Maybe others would have respected his wishes. Montreal Canadiens not only drafted him, but drafted him in the first round. Thought was maybe a team will roll the dice and draft him later on. But the first round, I think, again, that was a wow moment, I think, for a lot of people to see him get picked in the first round of the draft. So we'll go through the reactions of both he and Marc Bergevin as they were asked to answer the question. On Saturday, there is a lot of controversy among the Montreal Canadiens fan base about this decision to draft him. Again, they based it on him as a hockey player and their thought that, personally, there is the ability to rehabilitate him. I think the other way to look at this thing is if he asked not to be drafted and you turn around and draft him, if it's all about learning lessons and showing maturity and all those other things that even he himself spoke about, and then he kind of gets the quote-unquote reward of being a first-round draft pick still, are you really learning a lesson? And that's not even his fault. He asked not to be drafted. This, to me, is more on Montreal than it is on the kid. So we'll talk more about that decision as well coming up in the next hour and throughout the show, and welcome your reaction as well. All right, we'll take a break. Top of the hour news update. Then we'll run through the scoreboard. Canada's on the medal podium two more times. in the overnight hours over in Tokyo, including a gold medal. We'll tell you who it is and how she did it as part of our sports update. And then Dean Brown joined, jumps in on the other side to co-host for Simmer, who's on holidays this week. As we roll on here on a Monday morning, we're glad you're with us here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.